I'm reading to you from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 14 to 21. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Brian. Okay, I'd like to invite Sarah up, who's going to speak to us this evening. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Would you like me to pray for
you? I'd love you to pray for
me. Well, I'd like to pray for you.
Thank you.
Father God, I just ask your blessing on Sarah this evening. Mm. Thank you for her gift of preaching and teaching. And Father, thank you for the message that you've given us this evening. So I just pray for Sarah as she speaks to us, and I pray for us as we listen and hear what you've got to say. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So because this church is so well organized, about 7 months ago I was asked, would I like to do the closing message of the 5 o'clock services? And I was like, I'd love to do that for you. Bank holiday, you know, there won't be many people here, so you've got the dregs, I'm afraid. And then they said, it's going to be the title, Bullied for Jesus. And I'm like, yes, they're going to give me a passage like Elisha going through the town and the boys start mocking him. Baldy, baldy, they say. And he can't stand it. And what does he do? He curses them, and two bears come out of the woods and maul 42 boys to death. And I thought, yeah, that's a good passage to preach on about bullying, yeah. No. And then I thought, I know what. They'll give me the book of Judges, where Jael comes with her tent peg and strikes it in the head of her enemy. That's a good way of dealing with your enemies and dealing with the bullies. No. Then I thought, I know what? My mum, one of my memories of my mum, always if someone bullies you or if someone hits you, you hit them twice as hard. So when I was 7 years old, St. Michael's Primary School, Daniel Brown challenged me. He called me a name. I still remember the name some 40 years, 30 years on. He called me a pudding. Can you believe it? A pudding. He didn't call me a pudding anymore. He still has the scars. Now, I'm not proud of that moment. Of course, I'm not proud of that moment. I was 7 years old. Do not judge me. But then we come to the New Testament. We come to this wonderful passage in Romans. Very different. Very different philosophy. Very different message on how to deal with those who persecute you. Now, Romans has been dealing, Paul's been dealing with encouraging the church at Rome to live differently, to live this transformed life. 2 weeks ago, we learned about how your mind needs to be transformed, that you need to fully embrace living for Jesus. And then when you do that, things happen. We learned about that 2 weeks ago. But as a result of living that life, living that transformed life, full of joy, full of love, full of forgiveness, unfortunately, people around you don't like that. And throughout the New Testament, when people have put their lives on the line to live for Jesus, when they've embraced that life of a transformed mind, a transformed heart, they get persecuted. They get bullied. They get ridiculed. Now, I'm not going to talk about tonight the persecution that our friends in Afghanistan are going to be facing. I'm not talking about the persecution that happens in China. But, you know, all of us, when we fully embrace Jesus, when we fully put the gospel in our lives, we're going to get ridiculed. We're going to get mocked because our lives are different from those that don't have Jesus. It has to be. That's what Romans 12 tells us right at the beginning. And so Paul encourages the church at Rome. How are you going to live this transformed life with those that don't embrace your transformed life? I teach philosophy and religion at the Latin. And I have a young person in my year 12 philosophy class who ridicules me openly. She mocks me for believing in Jesus. She mocks me for believing in this omnipotent God that has power, this all-loving God, this omnibenevolent God. She ridicules me. It's going to happen. When you start speaking truth, when you live this life, ridicule happens. How do you cope with that? How do you cope with the poor drivers on the road? We had a number of them today, I must admit. And I had this sermon in my mind, and I'm like, be kind, bless those that persecute you, bless the car drivers that can't drive, Lord, bless them. But I wanted to shout and say, you idiot on the road, what are you doing? How do you cope when your husband winds you up or your wife winds you up? Do you curse them or do you embrace what Romans 12 says and bless them? Now, you might be sitting there thinking, well, I'm not really bullied for my faith. You know, I love Jesus and I live this life and I've got love and joy and faith in my heart. But yeah, I'm not really bullied. I haven't really been mocked for my faith. But you know, we can open this passage up and we can look at it about how we deal with the world that we are in. We all have people in our lives that wind us up. We all have people in our lives that we just don't get on with. We have family members. You can think of them now. Family members where you're just like, oh! A mother-in-law where you can never do right in her eyes. A brother or sister that you're at loggerheads with. A co-worker that always seems to get away with things. A neighbour that you really, really can't get on with. The people that are nasty, the people that are rude. And then if we deepen it a little bit further, the abuser. The person who really goes out of their way to belittle you. The person that will say names about you, will lie about you, has got you into trouble. You know, when we live this transformed life, it doesn't say if you're persecuted throughout the New Testament. It says when you're persecuted. Because not only have you got people that don't like you to have this transformed life, we also have an enemy. We have an enemy who doesn't want us to live this transformed life. Because if we live this transformed life that Paul was talking about at the start of Romans 12, people's lives are going to be changed as a result of us. The enemy's not going to like that. And so we do have to work out how we are going to get along with people that don't like us, to get along with people who persecute us, bully us, ridicule us. So there's three things that I think this passage is encouraging us to take away this evening. The first one is trust who you are in Christ. Trust who you are in Christ. If someone is bullying you, if someone is belittling you, if someone is calling you names, if someone is putting you down, you are still a child of God. You are still made in the image of God. Nothing changes. Nothing changes about who you are. So if you are going to live this transformed life, and if you're going to come up against those that are going to be against you, you must stand firm in who you are. So that when the taunting comes, when the ridicule comes, when the co-workers like, oh, the Jesus mob or something like that, when they say that, you must know who you are in Christ. You are still a son and a daughter of the living God. It doesn't change. You are still loved beyond measure. So when the abuser is abusing you, you are still loved beyond measure. When the hatred is coming at you, when the evil is coming at you, and we don't know what's going on in people's lives. We might be sitting here thinking, well, it doesn't happen to me, I'm not abused. We don't know what's going on in people's lives. We don't know what goes on when that door is closed. But whatever's going on in your life, and if you are abused or ridiculed or taunted or persecuted or bullied or belittled, you are loved beyond measure. Whatever that person is doing to you does not alter the fact that you are loved beyond measure, that you're still made in the image of God, that you're still a child of God, and that your eternity is still in the hands of God. You know, we look at things very much what happens in this life. But we've got an eternity waiting for us. No matter what happens on this life, we must stand secure in who we are, and we are destined for eternity. And then we can face the ridicule. Those people in Afghanistan and in North Korea and in China who are proper bullied for Jesus, they have to hold on to that. And so do we, no matter what is going on in our lives. So that's the first thing. Know who you are. Trust who you are in Christ. The second thing is trust that God will avenge. In our passage, it says, it's mine to avenge. And we have to trust that God, this God of justice, will avenge. That justice will happen. We may not see it. It may not happen how we like it. But the Bible says that God is a God of justice. And so therefore we have to believe that God is a God of justice, and that justice will prevail, that he will avenge. Now I find this very difficult. You might believe that. You may not believe that. I am a number 8 on the Enneagram. Anyone done the Enneagram? Oh, yay, one I've got. So I'm a number 8, Kate. A number 8 hates injustice. Can't stand it. Now that's really good in some ways, but not in other ways. Because obviously you want to attack all the time. So when I was in prison, as a chaplain, not as a prisoner, I hated injustice happening. And I remember a scene, well, it wasn't a scene, it was real life. It wasn't that, you know, I went to attack, not physically, but I don't like injustice happening. And so I'm wanting to get involved. I don't like the underdog being attacked. But it says, God will avenge. It is mine to avenge. As a mother, and I'm sure as parents, if you're a parent here, or you hate it when your child is the underdog in a situation. We got a phone call during the past term, and it's that phone call from the teacher, and you think, oh my gosh, what has my child done? And then it's actually, she's been hit by another child. And instantly, Mama Bear comes out. How dare someone hit my child? I hope they're being dealt with efficiently. And then it happens again, and Mama Bear gets more angry. And then I see at the gate the parent and the child who have caused upset to my little girl. And you can imagine the, I want that dealt with. Now that's just on a minor scale. But we have that, don't we? You know, there's something in us that we do not like injustice. We watch films and we see the underdog being beaten up, or we see it's not fair and we're sitting on the edge. We want justice. But sometimes we cannot be the ones who bring justice. This passage reminds us that when we're persecuted, when we're ridiculed, when we're on the back foot, it is God's will that he will avenge. It is God's will, not our will. It's easy to retaliate. It's easy to hit back. It's easy to curse when you're going along, the A421. It's easy. It's the easiest thing. Now, I'm not saying this passage is telling us to be a doormat. I'm not saying that this passage says, oh, bullying doesn't matter. As a teacher, I know that bullying, it does matter. It's not saying sit back and do nothing. It's not saying just let anything go. This passage is not saying that. And bullying should never happen and it should be called out and it should be dealt with appropriately. But it is saying that we have to react to our enemies. We have to act differently towards the enemy. We have to live counterculturally. You see, the book of Romans, Paul is asking the church at Rome to act differently to those around. And so we have to live counterculturally in the way that we deal with unbelievers. We have to live counterculturally in the way that we deal with evil. We have to live counterculturally to those that persecute us and ridicule us and insult us and get away with things. We have to live counterculturally. That's what Jesus says. That's what the New Testament says. So the first thing is know who you are in Christ. Secondly, trust that God will avenge. He is a God of justice. All the way through the Bible, it says that God is a God of justice. We have to hold on to that. We see much wrongdoing, not just against ourselves, but in our society. And we have to believe that God is the God that will avenge. And thirdly, our passage says, live at peace with one another. Live at peace and live in harmony with one another. Now, I do like the extra little bit that is in the book of Romans. It says, as far as it depends on you. As far as it depends. You like that, don't you? Yes. You know, we're not always going to get on with everybody, everywhere. It doesn't happen. Okay, but as far as it depends on you, live at peace with people. Don't go out of your way to cause a problem. That's what Paul's saying. Don't go out of your way to cause a problem with the ungodly around you. Don't go out of your way to cause a problem with those that don't believe. Actually, rejoice with those that are rejoicing. Have a party with the ungodly. I think that's what it's saying. Have a party. Rejoice. Embrace those that are happy. It doesn't matter if they're Christians or not. Embrace what is going on. Join in your life of love and peace and forgiveness and hope. Actually share with people. Rejoice with those that rejoice. And mourn, it says, with those that mourn. Get involved in the community. Live at peace. Don't let your transformed life, it says, hinder you from becoming part of the community. He's addressed how the church at Rome should live with one another, and now it's addressing how the church at Rome should live in the community. It's an ungodly community, but you've still got to live at peace with everyone. So don't go out of your way to cause a problem. Let your transformed life, this transformed mind, this transformed heart, this heart of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, let that affect everybody around. Associate with those of a lower disposition than you. Love. Be kind. Get involved. Now, for some of us, this is easy. We think, yeah, I'd get on with people. But for some of us, hurt has taken place in our lives. Deep hurt. For some of us, we've had to battle. We have actually had pain caused to us because of something that we've had to call out in the workplace. Where we've seen a problem, where we've seen something going wrong, our Christian life is to call that out. Or in our families, or in our church, or in our own relationships. Some of us have been deeply hurt because we believe that we've stood up for the things of God. So in conclusion, I want to share with you two people. Again, when I was in prison, we used to do the Sycamore Project. The Sycamore Tree Project was about restorative justice. Sycamore Tree Project started to, rather than just punish those that have persecuted others, bullied others, killed others, actually it tries to work with the perpetrator and the victim, and it tries to bring people together. And so there's two people that are involved in the Sycamore Tree Project called Ray and Viv Donovan. And they go round to a number of prisons and they've recorded messages. And basically, their son got killed. Their son got murdered. An 18-year-old walking back with his brother and another friend in London, I believe. And he got beat up, thrown into the road, and he got run over. And Ray and Viv Donovan, they take what is in Romans 12, verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. They've forgiven the person that has killed their son. They met with the person that killed their son. Now, I don't know how you can do that. The only way that you can do that is with God's Spirit in your life. The only way that you can do that is with a transformed life. Because how could you meet the person that had killed your son? But they know and they explain that the only way to deal with those who persecute you, that hurt you, that have done evil towards you, is to forgive. Is to bless. In GCSERE, we look at another person, Anthony Walker. He was a black guy and he was racially attacked. And his mum and his sister openly say, you know, we can't live a life of hatred towards this person that's killed our son. We have to forgive. We have to bless. Because that's what it says in the Bible and that's what Jesus does. And this transformed life that we talk about in the book of Romans is based on what Jesus has done. Jesus overcome evil, not with evil. He didn't overcome the evil that was around with greater evil. He didn't overcome Satan by being more evil. He overcome evil with goodness. And the only way you can ever overcome those that persecute you, ridicule you, cause harm towards you, is to overcome that with goodness, with love, with forgiveness. That's what the cross of Jesus is all about. The cross of Jesus is about forgiveness. It's about love. It's about goodness in the face of adversity. And some of us need to hear that tonight. Some of us need to hear that, do you know what? There's stuff going on in our lives. Yes, I want to curse them. Yes, I want to cause pain to them because they're causing pain to me. And yet I've got to bless them. I've got to love them. I've got to forgive them. Because Jesus says so. Because the New Testament says so. We may want that person to hurt, to feel the pain. But by doing good, by rewarding them, by blessing them, by sharing the joy that you have with them, you're heaping coals on their head. Do you know that's better than any karma? Karma's good, you know, when you see someone do something and then something happens to them and it's a bit fun and you think, see. But actually, when you see someone who's caused harm to somebody else and they're overly blessing them and they're overly good to them, heaping coals on someone's head, going over the top with kindness, that hurts them. Cursing won't hurt them, but forgiveness and love and generosity of goodness, that will hurt them. And it's God's way of dealing with the person that ridicules you, bullies you, persecutes you. Joe Biden this last week openly said, "We will not forgive those outside the airport that blew up." The suicide bombers that blew up innocent people. I'm not getting into a sermon about that. But his words were, I will not forgive you, we will hunt you down. And they did. And then there'll be another strike. And then there'll be another strike. And then there'll be another war. And there'll be other fatalities. The only way to call out evil, the only way to deal with the bully, the only way to address those that cause you hurt is to be loving, to be forgiving, and show Jesus to them. It's hard. The Christian life is hard. Most difficultiest, is that a word? I've made it a word. It's the most difficult thing you can ever do. But I stand here today and say it's the best thing that you can ever do. And when you forgive and when you let go, you will be blessed. When you hold on to who you are in Christ, you will be blessed. And when you let God have his way and be the God that avenges and calls out injustice, you will be blessed. Let's stand up. We're going to invite the band to play. I'm just going to pray for us. I love to do a little bit of prayer ministry when I preach. I don't know what's going on in your lives. You may all be wonderfully living at peace with everyone. And if that's so, then this is for me. And you can just stand there and I'll receive the blessing. But if you're anything like me, we've all got people that we know we need to bless them. We know we need to love them a little bit more. We know that we need to forgive them. As hard as it is, and some of you tonight may have to do some deep work with God. But I don't believe God gives us his word for us to just walk out of here not affecting our lives. And so as the music plays, I'm just going to pray for us. I'm going to invite the Spirit just to come and minister to each and every one of us. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you are active. We thank you that you, Holy Spirit, come and fill us with Jesus. And Lord, some of us, we just want to live that transformed life. We find it difficult to live the transformed life in the world and the community that we're in. And so, Lord, I want to pray right now for those that just want more of you, that just want more of your love and your joy and your forgiveness in their life. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you'll fill them. So that when they walk out of here and whatever they go into this week, they may know you, that they may be full of you, and that the people around them will know that Jesus lives in them. And Lord, some people this week are going to go into situations where they're going to have to call out injustice and where they're going to have to say that that's wrong. And Lord, I pray that you'll firstly give them the courage to do that, that you'll protect them. And then there's some of us here this evening that we need to stop looking at that person with such negativity. And we need to start praying for those people. Some of us have suffered abuse of some kind. And we hold that, and it's poison in our lives, and it's not good. Because all it does is eat away at us, and it takes the joy and the love and the hope and the faith that you desire us to live in. And so, Lord, I pray right now, if there's anyone here that just needs to forgive, that you will start that process, or that you'll finish that process. And Lord, I pray that all of us will walk out of here wanting to bless those that come against us. In the workplace, in the home, in the neighborhood, in our families, Lord. Will you help us be a people that want to forgive, that want to be generous in goodness and hope and charity? And so fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. Come in power as we just worship you now. Keep doing your work in us. Thank you for your word. and help us to be the Christians you call us to be. In the name of Jesus. Amen.